think about Thanksgiving in, you know, where did it come from? You know, Thanksgiving in the U.S. was clear from the beginning of the creation of the U.S. Congress in, suggested, recommended a yearly day of Thanksgiving. I thought that was fascinating. And it was George Washington said, hey, let's do it in November. You know, you think about Thanksgiving, and all cultures have some kind of Thanksgiving to celebrate the end of harvest, which is, you know, October, November, the end of harvest. But I thought it was cool that from the beginning, but it, you know, it had different kind of support from the presidents up that up until Abraham Lincoln asked the American people to set aside Thursday in November, the last Thursday in November. It was interesting. It was right in the middle of the Civil War. You think about all the stuff not to be thankful for, right? The tragedy of the Civil War and the stuff that was going on in the U.S. But Lincoln wrote, the year that is drawing towards to close, towards its close, has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and heartyful skies. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of the highest God. It has seemed to me fit and proper that these gifts should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and voice, by the whole American people, to set us apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and a prayer to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Now, he wrote that on October 3rd of 1863. Talk about those traditions that happen and then get carried forward. And I think sometimes, you know, if you ask people what's Thanksgiving about, you ask kids what it's about, they would say turkey. And maybe dad would say football. You know, it's kind of like, well, really, was that the reason for it? But as I look and thought about, you know, okay, so do we do a Thanksgiving sermon before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving? You know, I was thinking, oh, it's Thanksgiving weekend. But I think it's those opportunities that, you know, we've been in our study in Matthew. But to break apart and say, hey, no, there's seasons in our lives that we need to acknowledge and think about. What is it that we're doing? You know, what is it that we're celebrating? Is it just about just a day to gorge ourselves on great food? Or is there something more than that? Thanksgiving in the Bible. It's interesting as you look at all the feasts, and there's seven of them that God called to celebrate. All of them really are Thanksgiving feasts. They're Thanksgiving feasts. Passover was a celebration, a Thanksgiving, a freedom of slavery from Egypt. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was really the exit from Egypt in haste, you know, as they didn't have time to let the dough rise. So it's a celebration, remembrance of that. A celebration of first fruits. We talked about harvest. It says that first harvest, as you begin to get what you planted to come out of the ground, which is a bigger miracle at our house than at most. And so we celebrate with our little tiny tomato or pepper or whatever we're growing. The celebration of Pentecost, remembering the giving of the law. That's what that celebration was. It's interesting that if you equate, you know, all these have a history and symbolism and a reality in Jesus. Pentecost, a celebration of the giving of the law that came on the tablets, the Ten Commandments, and what God gave through Moses. Well, what happened on Pentecost in the New Testament was the giving of the Holy Spirit, which was also the giving of the law. But it was the giving of the law written on our hearts, not on tablets or paper. The celebration of trumpets. It's the Jewish New Year, and really a celebration of creation. And the Day of Atonement, forgiveness for sin, thankfulness. And then Tabernacles was the celebration of coming into the Promised Land. And again, you know, you talk about symbolism. They celebrated that reality. All those that Joshua said, all the good promises that God has made have come to reality, have come to fruition. Here as we celebrate and we are taking over the land that God is giving us. But as we look forward to, I think the Promised Land, I celebrate what's coming. God's good promises of eternity, of a life spent with him. I just think as we look, there's lots of verses about Thanksgiving, but I just kind of think of two categories. One is, what is giving thanks? What is giving thanks that Scripture describes in the Bible? I'm going to look at it at several verses here. And the first one is 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. It's interesting, the word translated praise here, give praise to the Lord, is the Hebrew word yada, yada. And it's interesting because if you look at some translations, it doesn't say give praise, it says give thanks. Why? How did it translate? Why did they come up with those two different kinds of words? Because that word translates yada means to give thanks. Make confessions of who God is. Give thanks. Give praise to the Lord. Giving thanks is praise. To give thanks is to give honor and praise to someone for what they have done. And that's, if you see the songs we sing, it says, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor. That's thanksgiving to who God is. I just think about, you know, as you finish your Thanksgiving dinner, did you yada? Oh man, I praise you for that meal. That was amazing. That turkey, our turkey, we put it in a bath of salt. In I forget something else too, but in a igloo ice chest overnight. Soaked that thing so that it was so moist and delicious as we took it out of the oven. And one of those bags, you know, if you get some done those bags and all the juices come out and you make an amazing gravy out of it. I was yada'ing my son, my daughter and son-in-law for their amazing turkey that, you know, and then maybe you yada'd your kids as they like, I praise you for helping with the dishes after all this was done. You know, and just that Thanksgiving and saying, I praise you, God, for the good things of who you are. It's really by definition, it's thanksgiving. It's not thanks-taking. Right, gifts, when we give stuff, it's giving. It's what we're choosing to give. It's something that we're acknowledging. It's a response to something good that somebody's done. It's important. That's how we teach our kids, right? You affirm. I talk about, you know, my wife's an educator, and they work in classes with some hard kids. And you try not to, there's two different kinds of teaching or even parenting, right? You can focus on all the stuff you tell your kids not to do. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And quite honestly, that's an endless challenge, right? Is what you do is you want to catch them doing something good. And so you say, good job. You know, you didn't hit that person when you got mad. Good job. You were kind with your words or you helped. You know, is that to give thanks to somebody and to acknowledge those things. And then Psalms 69:30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. The word praise here comes from another Hebrew word called Hebrew word halal, which has the meaning to commend someone or boast about them. Giving thanks is to boast about somebody. I think about even bragging about somebody. I crack up as I walk down the street or drive down the street, I will see these signs in people's yards that says, my kid is on honor roll at such and such school. What is it? That's parents bragging about their kid. Their kid went to school maybe. He just showed up. Or maybe they worked hard for the grades that they got. You know, it's bragging about your kids. Thanks, giving thanks is to brag about. It says, we're to brag about who God is and his goodness. I can always tell, you know, even in we talk about glorifying God, is to sing his praise. To glorify is to promote God's greatness with even song. I can tell when I'm feeling happy. Like because I have hope because I will sing around the house. Sometimes it's a worship song, sometimes it's just a made-up song. You know, I'm amazing wordsmith when it comes to songs. you will never hear them. But it's just like there's something joyful. It influences our emotions, what we think about, to even to sing. It's like, God, you're so amazing. God, I'm so thankful. And sometimes it's not just about God. It's about what he's given. You know, my wife is always doesn't like me talking about it, but I'll sing songs about her. And she's like, and part of me, it's like, you know, I'm a guy. You only do things for reaction sometimes. And so I will sing until I get a good smile from her or something. But I will sing her praise and just what she means to me and how much I love her. But God wants us to sing and give him glory, to boast about who he is, and glorify him in his greatness, to commend him. I just think even that word glorify is translated also mighty. You know, glorify, speak of God's mighty works. We're to highlight, magnify God for his greatness with our thanksgiving. We sing about him, glorify him, say, God, you're amazing. Really, think about those signs in the yard, right? It's highlighting. God calls us to talk about who he is, to magnify, to emphasize, to celebrate who he is. Giving thanks is also good for us. God, in his word, God, by his spirit, will never ask us to do anything that's not good for us. It may be things that aren't fun. It may be things that are hard to do, but everything God asks us to do is good for us. When we thank God, we have to think about it. It's like, what am I thankful for? In fact, I sat down as I got ready for Thanksgiving. I just sat down and wrote in my notes and on my phone, God, what am I thankful for? You know, and it's not, is it more than just stuff that I'm thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for sure for my family. I'm thankful, God, that you love me, that you shouted your light to be created in me. I'm thankful for your love for me, that you're faithful to me, even when I'm not faithful. Lord, I'm thankful for your patience with me. I'm thankful for your forgiveness. Lord, I'm thankful for your redeeming me. Lord, I'm thankful that you haven't given up on me. I'm thankful that you keep growing me. Lord, I appreciate the friendships that you give me that encourage me. I'm even thankful for the friendships that you give me that challenge me. Because without those challenges, I wouldn't grow. I wouldn't reach out to God. You've heard the saying that some people say God won't give you any more than you can handle. Have you heard that saying before? Did you know it's not in the Bible? The reality is God will give you more than you can handle. Why? Because it's only in the more than we can handle that we will cry out to God. If everything I could do that I could handle, I wouldn't need God. I need to have things that are beyond my ability and say, God, man, if you don't show up, I'm not going to make it. It's at that edge where I'm like, you know, I'm sinking. I'm going over the cliff. Here comes the waterfall. And there's nothing to save me. Say, God, save me. I'm thankful for how God has saved me out of situations that were not good for me. Situations that the world thought would say, that is good, man, you're going places. But God pulled me out of those because he knew that those things would end in a bad place for me. It's interesting, we talk about giving thanks as being good for us. Studies show that gratitude fosters resilience against stress. Thankfulness, gratitude improves our self-esteem. It effectively increases happiness and reduces depression, and it opens doors to relationships. Who do you want? Do you want to hang around people who are always complaining and mopey about everything being bad? Is that who you want to hang out with? No. You want to hang about people that says, man, you look good today. Man, you look younger than you did yesterday. Man, I'm coming back and hanging out with that guy. It's like, man, it's just like, are you losing weight? It's like, well, I know, but thank you for noticing. You know, it's like, it just, those things, thankfulness, people that are gratitude, those are the kind of people that you want to hang out with, that you come to be with. Giving thanks is active and not passive. It's something we have to choose to notice. It's stuff we have to recognize and appreciate what you have been given. And really, thankfulness comes as somebody gives you something to acknowledge there's been a cost to it. There's been a cost to it. And that's ultimately, think about what Jesus has given us, eternal life, and what it cost him for Jesus to leave heaven and come down and be in this middle of this mess, to love us, to redeem us, to save us. It's active and not passive. We need to focus on those good things that we've received rather than what we haven't been given. I want to move from, like, what is thanks? What is giving thanks? And, you know, to how do we give thanks? How do we give thanks? Look at Psalms 95:2. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Let us come before him. When we give thanks in his presence. It's we don't text God. We don't email him. We don't send somebody else to give him a message. We come and give it to him ourselves. What a privilege to come into God's presence, that through the blood of Jesus, that he cleared the way so that we're righteous, because there's nobody unrighteous allowed in God's presence. But you and I, as we put our faith in Jesus, we get placed on us God's righteousness. So we get to go into God's presence and we get to thank him face to face. God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for seeing me for who I am, who I can be, rather than the things that I've done. God, thank you. We get to come into his presence ourselves. We're to give thanks with a shout. That word translated extol means to shout, raise a sound, cry out, give a blast on a horn, you know. That's why some translations even say, shout to the Lord, or make a joyful noise on instruments in this verse. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Let us come before him with a shout. God, I praise you, Lord. Woo! Yeah, God, you're amazing. Lord, I love you. You are so loving to me that we get to shout to the Lord. You know, I think about just those trumpets, and, you know, talk about worship, that Asaph and his crew, David appointed them to lead worship, that they shouted thanksgiving to God. Would you guys shout with me? Let's do it. Woo! God, you're awesome, Lord. We get to shout God's praise, extol, that, you know, and we don't have an instrument here, but Stephen could like bang on his guitar, and if we had an amp, we'd crank it up and worship God. But he wants us not with electronic and electricity to shout his praise, but with our heart to shout his praise and God's goodness. As we think about who God is and what he's done, your heart should start to change. Your heart rate should go up. Your view of the world should change in confidence of what God has done. Psalms 116, verse 17 says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. We're to call on the name of the Lord with an offering of thanksgiving. There's an old worship song that I think it goes something like, you know, we bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. Sometimes we sing that song like a dirge. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Because we think of the word sacrifice as being like something, I'm going to give up something to God that I don't want to give. This is mine, and he's like prying it out of my fingers. If I got to do this, let's do it. A sacrifice is something of taking of our best and our first and say, God, no, this is yours. I'm honoring you. I'm giving it to you. It's thanksgiving, not thanks-taking, not thanks under compulsion, somebody twisting your arm, but to bring that willingly, that we get to bring that thank offering as a gift to God. This is my gift to you. Can you imagine? Have you ever got a present that somebody wants, you feel like it's given to you because they want something back? or it's a gift exchange. And really, they want to make sure that the value you gave them is the same. That's a gift exchange. That's not a gift. When we're to come before the Lord, we call on His name. I love this verse from Philippians 4:6, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, what? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. We're really good at calling on God, but we don't come with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for who He is and what He's done. Thanksgiving for His answered prayers. How many of you have moved on from prayer requests to the next one? It's just like that's in front of us, and we forget this prayer that we've been praying about last week. God's answered. We forget God's goodness and His graciousness. Coming to the Lord with thanksgiving reminds us of His love and faithfulness. Coming to the Lord with thanksgiving increases our faith. As we celebrate and recognize what God's given us, we're like, God, You got this next situation covered. You covered this situation back here so faithfully. I know You're going to cover this one. God, You're such a good God. You're so faithful. You're so loving. Do you bring your request to the Lord with thanksgiving? Do you remember what God has done for you? In 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks for who God is. When the Ark of God was brought from outside of Jerusalem to Jerusalem, and King David, that shepherd boy turned king in the Old Testament, when he became king, he established worship in Jerusalem. And like I said earlier, Asaph was his worship leader. And he organized the musicians, he organized the singers, and as David established that, God gave him these words: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We're to give thanks to God for who He is. For who He is. We give thanks to the Lord. What? First, He is good. He is good. He is good. He doesn't just do good things. It's who He is. As we give thanks to God, I don't understand. This is not how I would choose to do things. Have you ever told God that? God, this is not how I would have chose to do things. And as we remind ourselves, God, but You're good. And so this thing that looks bad to me, I can trust You. I can trust You that You are good. And what? His love endures forever. Who God is love. God is love. That's by definition. God just doesn't do loving things. It's who He is. So He can't help. Everything that comes out of Him, that's who He is. He's good and He's loving. Everything that comes out of Him, we have to remember those things, because the world, does it feel very loving sometimes? No. Does it seem very good sometimes? No. That's why we have to remember, say, God, You are good. You are good, God. And this stuff I'm seeing is, I got to trust You. I don't know how this works out, Lord, but I got to trust You. And I have to understand that what You're allowing me to go through is a reflection of Your love in ways I can't understand. I give thanks that You are good, God, that You're loving. What I just think about, I just think as I think this to me is like one of those foundational understandings who God is. Any guys ever been disappointed by God? Disappointed. Disappointed. To go back and say, wait a minute. God, in those words we always quote, Joseph in the Old Testament told his brother, says, what You intended for evil, God intended for good. That doesn't mean there's not people that do have evil intentions. But as we submit ourselves to God, as we submit our confidence in who He is, that God will take an ugly, hard situation, as allow him to transform us and our understanding what it is and our faith in who he is, to say, hey, it's no big deal to love somebody who's kind to you. It is a big deal to love somebody who's not kind to you. And the only way we can do that is by trusting that God is in control. He's doing things through circumstances, but more importantly, he's doing things in us. And they will not happen without hard situations, because we will be worshiping God for situations rather than who he is. Does that make sense? This pandemic has been revealing about what we worship God for. Look around the room. Our church is not the size it was before the pandemic. Because worshiping God is in this world is uncomfortable. Who likes wearing a face mask, a face covering? I don't. Do you? I haven't met anybody who likes it. Nobody likes it. But it's like, you know what? I'm going to go worship God. I think being with God's people is more important than my comfort. I've been thinking about a series that I'm up ahead as we finish Matthew. Yes, we're going to finish Matthew, possibly before the Lord returns. But I've been thinking about just this series. And one of the series I'm thinking about doing is just about a series on the current culture. If an example that I've been thinking about is a saying that you see in movies and you hear people say to each other is, do what makes you happy. You guys heard that one before? Maybe you've said that to somebody. Man, just do what makes you happy. Did you know that if we did what makes us happy, we're going to go to hell? Because, you know, as I think about the series, what is it? Our current culture says this is where life is. And God's word, God says, I am where life is. God says, doesn't do what makes you happy. What does God say? Do what I tell you to do. Kind of like what you tell your kids, right? I don't care if you don't want to do that. You just do what I say, because your life depends on it. And God says that in a loving way. He says, just do what's going to make you happy. You don't realize it, but what's going to make you happy is doing what I say. I just, as we think about giving thanks for who God is understanding and in just a deep way, God, I can trust you. I can trust you. I remember praying, and I still catch myself sometimes. In fact, I just prayed it this morning. I said, God, would you grow me? And as I said that, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to hurt. And I used to pray until somebody challenged me. And I used to pray, God, would you grow me, but go easy on me? I don't want to hurt too much. And then somebody caught me, heard me praying, and says, does that mean you don't trust God to love you? I was like, ooh, ouch. And I caught myself this morning. I said, God, will you grow me? And I caught my feeling to say, oh, this is going to hurt. Tempted to say, God, would you go easy on me? And then that thought came back from my friend who told me that, challenged me. Said, no, God, I want to grow. And yes, it's going to be hard, but I can trust you. Why? Because you're good. And because you love me. Psalms 9:1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. How do we give thanks? We give thanks with all of our heart. David, again, King David, described what? A man after God's heart, who loved God, who saw his priorities, even in how he dealt with difficult situations. He was a man, because we got plenty of faux pas and things not to follow in his steps, but there was amazing things that he did trust God for, so much that he could be described as a man after God's heart. And he recognized that unless he came with all of his heart, that God was worthy of all of his heart, that it really wasn't complete. and that all of his heart and all of his wonderful deeds, I think of like creation, the plan for our future, dealing with our sin in Christ's death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for your relationships that you put me in, the family that you have me in, the church that you have me in, the street that I live on, the job that I have. Thank you, Lord. I think about that old song, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Then what? Then you'll see what God has done. It takes time. It's been intentional. Let's say, God, thank you. That's what we talk about Thanksgiving, doing a service, a sermon, or a teaching on it. It's a season that we that live in to take advantage of it, to take notice. Okay, what is Thanksgiving about? How should I approach this? What is it God wants to grow me in? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Should we give thanks? We should give thanks in all circumstances. It says, don't give thanks. It didn't say for all circumstances, right? It says in all circumstances. So the wheels can be coming off the bus. You know, things just to say, you know what? God, I'm thank you that your love endures this. That there's nothing, like Paul said, nothing, height nor depth nor powers or principalities can separate me from God's love. No circumstances, no lack of finances, no people leaving the church, no friendship that's been betrayed me can get in the way of God's love for me. I can thank God in all circumstances. I think about Gladys, who's up in a rehab on her back in a room isolated. She can thank God in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that I got brothers and sisters praying for me, that care about me, that are thinking about me. She can thank the Lord. She can worship him in that place. And I know it's a hard place. Have you guys been sick, right? It's hard to worship God. But in the simpleness, we can say, God, I thank you still love me, that this isn't going to get in the way of your plans for me. This isn't, even if it feels terrible, it's not going to get in the way. I can thank you in the middle of this. We're to thank God in all circumstances. It's always time to give thanks. We're in a circumstance right now, right? You're just here. Every situation, we're to give thanks. Why? Because God wants to walk in that confessed truth of who he is, that God is good, that he loves us, that because of Christ in us, God is working his will in us to change us, to grow us. That's why I can give him thanks. Say, God, I don't understand how this is going to look, or what is this, how I'm going to be changed, or how I'm impacting people. I'm blown away sometimes that God gives little glimpses of how we impact people. How you live matters. And God will give you little insights into those things that happened to Jackie and I just last night. We were some friends and they commented, say, hey, somebody told us about you and Scott. And this is what they said about you. At the time, seriously, we're totally clueless. We're just walking out Jesus. And he said it impacted. They felt loved and accepted by you guys. And it's a relationship that we didn't even know was that was going on. The reality is that we influence people by how we walk out things. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. That to be that confident as I worship God, as I honor him in all circumstances, as I reflect and struggle through and wrestle through, just even that testimony of somebody watching you is like, how are they going to handle this? How are they going to handle this? I remember years ago, I was at the construction company I worked at. I was serving some project managers in different projects that we have. And this project manager, I can't remember what it was, but came unglued at me for something. And I know he was there under a lot of pressure to get a job done and at a profit. And I just, you guys, anybody here like to get yelled at? Me either. I hate getting yelled at. But I just remember when he was done, I just apologized. I said, I'm sorry. And I can't tell you, he went silent. In fact, when I left that company, he was one of the guys that came up and talked to me about what was it that was motivating me by decisions that I had made. And we have no idea in those circumstances, because I would have loved to have just told the guy to get out of town and maybe send some unkind things to him, but I didn't. And it is a reality that when we walk out Thanksgiving because of who God is, we can trust that good things will come from them. The reality is there may not be good things that come even on this earth. When we worship, when we give thanksgiving to God, it's not about what we have received. It's not just about what we received. But when we give thanksgiving to God, it's to be thankful about what we will receive by faith. We can be thankful, not just, and there's a, you know what, we could spend days here talking about what we've received from the Lord. But that isn't the limit of our thankfulness. We get to be thankful of God's promises that He is giving us. I'm thankful that my eternity is secure. I'm thankful that God is going to bring righteousness to my mind, my soul, to not struggle in a world that's broken, that I'm broken in, to redeem us, that God's prepared. For me, it's helped release some things on my bucket list. Anybody have bucket lists here? Bucket list, that wish list, that you things you want to do. I've released my bucket list, my wish list, to say, God, I'm okay letting that go. I'm not going to make this what my life is about, because I trust, as much as I'd like to do those things, heaven is going to be cooler. Heaven is going to be better. So I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that there's things that I'm choosing not to do because of my eternity. There's things that I'm choosing not to make a priority of my life. Thanksgiving, I get to worship and be thankful for Jesus for the stuff I've received and the things that I will receive. What will you notice? What will you choose to be thankful for today? I know that thankfulness is healing to our soul. As we walk out God's thankfulness, God's goodness, we get a different perspective. We get an attitude change. I just encourage you to think, even in hard circumstances, what is it that God's doing here? Thankful, Lord, that you're making me realize that I'm not in control as things don't go like you plan. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Thank you, Lord, that you are the satisfaction to my soul, not what I choose to do. Lord, thank you, Lord, that I can trust you in relationships that hurt me. I can trust you, God, that as I walk out kindness, that you will make everything right in heaven. I can trust God. And it changes my attitude. It allows me to keep quiet. It allows me to keep walking through hard things. Because God, as I'm thankful, my attitude changes. Because I'm thinking about, what has God done? Oh, he's done that. Oh, he's done that too. Oh, he did that. Oh, he did that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. We shout your praise today. We extol you. We brag about you. We boast about you. Lord, we sing songs to you. We glorify your name. Lord, we confess you before the world. Lord, I pray that we would be better Thanksgiving people, that we would be loud about our thanksgiving about who you are, so that the world knows, so that our family knows, so that our workmates know, so that our neighbors know how much you've done, that we can brag about you, Lord, and that we would thank you in ways that changes our heart. Lord, we thank you in ways that changes our attitudes, that we'd thank you in all circumstances. Lord, that even though it may at the time feel painful, Lord, it doesn't change who you are. Lord, that so that as we thank you, it gives us endurance to walk through hard things. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. You are a wonderful, amazing God. Lord, help us to grow in our ability to see that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.